Hello, lovely listeners. On today's episode, we wreck Overwatch with the latest hero. Next, we enter the stage of history with Soul Calibur 6 Talk. All that and a possible 3DS successor? You're listening to Dual Pixels Radio, but first, introductions.
I'm Jose.
I'm Rob, and Joey has the night off.
You just made that sound so bad, like he's playing Overwatch. No.
Well, I mean, with something that we'll be talking about later. Yes, maybe
yes.
He is.
Yes, maybe he is.
But anyway, let us continue on with our usual opening, and that is what we've been playing. And as first, and as always, I will go last.
There you go. You switched it off there. So, I've been playing Luminous Remastered this week. A lot of it. Enough of it where I'm starting to memorize everything in blocks again. Pretty dope experience, memorizing everything in blocks or looking at everything and seeing everything in blocks. Enough. But guess what? So I still haven't got to the 100 stage, and I was real good about it in the PSP version, where all my playthroughs I went past 100 and got to the final stage. And I haven't been hitting the final stage. I've been replaying it and losing at about stage 80. I don't know how. Like, I don't know why. It's just like I'm just either thinking too like fast. No, actually, I'm thinking way too slow on certain songs, and it's like kind of annoying because I want to hear the last stage and I want to like just play the last stage in endless mode. So. If any of you guys know, I don't even want to spoil it, but the last, I don't even want to say it now. Well, the last stage is just a vocal, it has vocals in it, and it's a pretty dope stage, so, yeah, I just can't wait to get more into that and finally go past stage 100. I'm probably going to cheat to do it, though, and pause the game. And look at the lines, the next blocks coming up. Once I hit stage 80.
Yeah.
No, before, you know, I didn't need to do that, but now I have to, unfortunately. Even though I find myself a pretty good, Luminous player. But yeah, not this time. But I've been playing, this Luminous, and, oh, I also bought Mass Effect, Andromeda. Yes.
I'm so sorry.
Well, I already know. I know what to expect. So the game surprises me because I spoke about it. I would say probably like 10 episodes ago that I played the trial, and I remember not liking it much because my main criticism was that the game is making you do these side missions for no reason, and it's making you explore. Into places that don't really need exploring or there's nothing there. So this even for story purposes. So that was the thing with the whole trial. I remember playing it. So I'm downloading that now. And yeah, I want to see if it's good or not. I want to now going into the perspective as to that I bought the title and I'll have a little bit more time instead of the trial. So I kind of want to see what went wrong. And I didn't really play the previous Mass Effects. I bought Mass Effect 1 3-4 times and I just couldn't get into it. I bought Mass Effect 2 about 3 times on 3 different platforms. Yes, that's, yeah. 3 different platforms and couldn't get into it. And I bought part 3 on one platform and just couldn't get into it. So.
Yeah, like, because I had bought, I think, 1 and 2 on Steam, like, years and years ago. I think I tried to play them and I couldn't play them for whatever reason. Like, it wouldn't click with me. I guess because, like, the early PC version, you couldn't use a controller. So I couldn't just, like, lay back and play it. And then eventually I picked it up on, 360, and I was able to. I played through like 1, 2, and 3, like right when 3 came out, like back to back to back. I mostly enjoyed my experience, mostly.
I can't say that. Because part one, like after the first mission in part one, I stopped at the first mission on all three platforms and just can't pick it up. I just find it boring. So I don't know why. You see, this is the thing about these PSN sales, that you end up buying stuff that you really don't want to play or that you don't need to
Yeah.
play. So
We don't need to play, absolutely.
Remember, I bought Gravity Rush, I bought Gran Turismo Sport, and I bought Uncharted Lost Legacy, and those games are doing just fine. I'm still playing them. Lost Legacy I beat, and Gravity Rush I played a bit of, and Gran Turismo Sport I it's kind of it's there, but I like pop it in for one or two races. It's not like the main event sort of a thing. So seeing all these games on the PSN sale, you're like, damn, I want to play this now because it's $7, and that's what I have now with Mass Effect. So yeah, I'm very interested into seeing if I end up liking this one. But I don't know. We'll see, because I didn't love the other ones at all. So we'll see on that. I did purchase Ape Escape 2, the PS2 classic, and I did play one level of it. And can you believe that it was Ape Escape that actually started the DualShock revolution?
Yeah, it was
Yeah.
the I guess it was like the what's it called?
The game that required it.
Yeah, it required it, but it was I guess kind of a tech demo, I guess, to show off, like, hey, look what we can do.
And
Kind of
I...
like how with Rumble, what was the game that had Rumble on? The 64. What's one game that had Rumble?
Was
Star
it...
Fox? I think Star Fox, maybe.
The Rumble Pack, yes. It's
Yeah.
probably Star Fox, yeah.
I feel like it was bundled with Star Fox.
Yeah, so going back and seeing that, I'm like, wow, this game was the one that started this DualShock phase. And it's pretty interesting because it's the PS2 part 2, the PS2 version, and it looks decent, up-res, like it holds up, like it doesn't feel too old. It holds up well. It's up-res. I guess the art style makes it work. What doesn't make it hold up as much, what you do notice is the animations. But yeah, it holds up very, very well. I just really can't believe it was Ape Escape that started the tech demo, the DualShock revolution. It's just playing it just made me think about it much more. So yeah, I got Ape Escape 2, and I think that was it. That's all I pretty much like games on. I did play probably like one or two matches in Street Fighter, but then that's it. Like, oh, I did. Oh, yes, I did. I did play Street Fighter V since the new survival update came out. So I did get to play that, and Cody came out as well. So that was epic. And I'm not gonna mention any more Street Fighter V, but I. They're going in the right direction with the characters, or the way they're doing the characters, where it's like one character so far in Street Fighter V, like every other character goes back to classic Street Fighter. And not just characters, I'm talking about like classic playstyles. Like we had Falk, which is the girl with the stick.
Oh yeah,
Yes, and
who looks
she's
like she plays like what, I think Venom from
Venom from Guilty Gear,
yeah, Guilty Gear.
So she's kind of, she has like a much more simpler moveset, but then now Cody has a more complex moveset. So I think it's dope, like they're doing like simple character, complex character, simple character, complex character. That's been the whole theme. Sakura, pretty simple with Ryu's, it's pretty much Ryu with just a little bit of added pizzazz for Sakura. So, and then Blanka, they gave him a lot of new stuff, which is a lot of stuff to experiment. So I'm liking this whole simple character, complex character release, so that's been pretty good. But besides that, yeah, just that's all I've been playing. I haven't been watching anything either in terms of like tournaments. I know CEO went on, but I haven't watched anything besides that. So yeah, what have you been playing, Rob?
Well, let's see. I picked up Luminous as well. I'm nowhere near as good as you. Like, I think I was happy I was, like, on. Because, like, when I first played it, I played it for a good 20, 30 minutes, and I got through, like, I think the seventh, eighth, skin. And I consider that a win.
No, but I'm surprised you say like 30 minutes because when I play Luminous, it's like 3 hour sessions. Because I
Oh no,
know.
like, well, 'cause like I'm not that good. Like, there's certain skins that trip me up. There's certain songs that trip me up just because I can't. I have the hardest time like visualizing it, so it throws me off. So that's usually what kind of trips me up. It's more just like I can't mentally like separate the colors correctly. And so I have a hard time with that. But that's usually kind of where I stop. But the fact that I got seven or eight skins in my first playthrough, I was pretty happy, and tried playing some of the other modes. I think it might be a little too advanced for me, but that's fine because it's I got Luminous because it's going to be one of since it's digital, it's totally going to be one of those games where I'm like, all right, I'm going to play some Luminous and play for a little bit, and like, all right, I'm cool, and then play something else. It's going to be a good travel game, absolutely.
Well,
It's not
yeah,
why I got why I got it on the Switch.
it's definitely like for me it's perfect puzzle game. It's the best puzzle game in my opinion. Like I kind of understand where people say Tetris, but you did know that Tetris Effect, yeah, we did talk about it last week about Tetris Effect being made by the creator of Luminous. So he did originally want to make Tetris Effect instead of Luminous. So I'm kind of
Yeah,
hot.
Tetris Effect was supposed to be, or no, Luminous was supposed to be a Tetris game, but then they couldn't get the license.
I'm actually happy
But they made it.
about that.
Yeah, but we got like another good puzzle game, so that's great.
Yeah, so.
But yeah, like I mean, like I like it. If they ever release a Luminous 2 remastered, I'll absolutely get it too. But yeah, it's definitely like one of the like I remember playing it on the. I remember playing the original on the PSP. I remember getting the Xbox 360 one. They even had a mobile one that came out not last year, I think the year before, that I liked as well. So like
What?
it's got lots of like it's one of those games or series I'll always come back to. I'll always forget about, but I'll always come back to.
No, I only remember it because of the music and it just works. And did you try the transvibration?
Yeah, a little bit, but it just seemed weird. I don't know, like it didn't. Vibration felt a little stilted. Can't explain it. I don't know. Maybe I was expecting something else. But yeah, I tried it with the blocks or with all. I think because there's blocks, beat, and all. I think I did it with all. It's a little weird. I'll have to change the setting to beat.
Oh, I need to try it like that then too because I just put all, so I, but even then to me I thought it was great. That's why I say it's like it's an experience.
Yeah. Yeah, so I got Luminous. I also picked up Neo during the Steam summer sale. And I played it a little bit and I'm liking it a lot. I'm still like really early on. I am dying a lot because I'm trying to play it like a Dark Souls or a Bloodborne game. And it's not. There's more levels in terms of the combat than those games. Because I didn't realize there were stances and like you can have two different types of weapons and then the different stances, like you can take more damage or deal more damage. And then you have to keep switching stuff and then there's ki bursts. And there's a lot of stuff going into it. What I do like about it a lot is it there's certainly elements of a loot game where like you there's constant drops of like armor and gear and stuff like that, which I'm enjoying. But I haven't been able to actually do anything with it yet. It's just kind of getting like the basic stuff. So I think there's like a blacksmith in the game as well. You can upgrade your gear, so
Oh, I still
still going.
haven't even I think yeah, I have tried Neo, but I'm actually waiting for that to go on sale. Like even more than it is, because it's on PSN right now, but I'm just waiting for it to go on sale just because I know already what to expect. With the the stance stuff, and it's
Yeah.
kind of like Dark Souls and Bloodborne, so I know what to expect, so yeah, I would want to pay for like $17 or less. I think it's $17 right now, actually, just for standard,
Yes,
but I want
for
the
just the the standard. Well, you
yeah.
may as well just get the one with the DLC. Well, I spent like $30 on it. So far, it's like, yeah, all right.
Yeah, I'd rather get it
Price.
with the DLC, but on top of that, I still have, I'm gonna play Mass Effect now, so we'll see how this turns out. You'll hear my experience next week.
Yes.
So, but yeah, Neo, I definitely want to try out just because of all that stuff you mentioned, the stances and.
Yeah, it's I guess it's like a halfway point between like Dark Souls and Ninja Gaiden. Like it's like kind of like right in between. Like you have more of a variety in terms of abilities than Dark Souls and Bloodborne, but you still have that risk reward punishment, I guess, when you die. So there's kind of like the duality of it. So it's pretty cool. And then on top of that, I've been playing Kirby Squeak Squad. Because when I originally played it on the DS, like way back when, I stopped playing it because in order to get to complete the game, you had to find all these star seals, and they're in chests that are in the levels, and so that was a pain in the ass to try to get all of them. And I remember just like giving up because I was like, I don't remember, because I thought like the treasure chests were optional, but nope, that they're some of them are required to continue. So I was trying to go through and collect all of the ones that I could, and I got through, I think, level world 5, and I got all of the chests. And about levels World 6 is like the difficulty like ramps up for a Kirby game. It's weird.
Yeah, you see, I was just about to say that with the Kirby games, is that the difficult, they're not really that difficult. They're just like easy breezy.
Yeah, there's like super like they're relatively easy. Like you can beat like with Star Allies, I beat it like maybe in 2 or 3 days. Like, and that was like playing it very short. And I died a few times, but it was always like, okay, I fell off a ledge or something like that. But no, like Squeak Squad is definitely challenging, and it's a little bit weird that they decided to be like, no, we're just gonna make it more kid friendly and make it way, way easier. But yeah, I'm in the last world, and I just need to just finish it so I can finish it. I have a hundred there's 120 chests, and I have about 109. I don't think I'm gonna go back and get all of them. I might.
Yeah,
I'm so close to
I
that.
wouldn't.
I
That's
might
me.
because I'm so close, but at the same time, I'm like, some of them are just bullshit. Like, it's. You have to play a level multiple times because, like, it'll give you multiple paths, and sometimes you don't know if you're taking the right path. So you'll take one path, and, like, you'll see the treasure chest go by you, and you're like, shit. You have to go back and do it.
Don't you just hate that in games that do like there's no clues on what's the right path and what's the wrong path, and it
Yeah,
kind of
like
makes
all
you.
you're supposed to do is just guess, and it's not fun. It is not fun.
Yeah, that's such a design flaw. Like thinking about that, the Kirby game, and now that comes up to like Final Fantasy 12. I remember if you didn't open a chest correctly, you
Oh,
couldn't get the
yeah,
final
to get
weapon.
like the ultimate weapon, yeah.
Yes.
And
That's
it's
so
not, well, it's
shitty.
not that, is it's like you have to not open specific chests.
Yes.
Which is like the most bullshittiest buy our strategy guide move ever.
Yeah, that's so
It's how
bullshit.
you like that it's That's punishing exploration. Like, if you're exploring something, you should be able to get a reward for exploring it, not potentially get locked out of something because you're deciding to explore. I mean, it's one thing if it's just not fun whenever you have to, like, guess the correct order to do anything. Well, in a Kirby game or like a platformer, especially when you're given choice upon choice upon choice, where you have to remember, like, okay, I took this door on in this screen, and this door in this other screen. Where do I have to go next? And it's just not fun. It's not fun. But yeah, no, I've been playing Squeak Squad just so I can, finally finish it and just set it aside, because that's the only main game DS that I haven't finished. I played all the 3DS games, finished those that were mainline, not like the Battle Royale stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, was it Battle Royale? I forget. Yeah, I think so. Something Royale. The one that came out in the 3DS earlier this year.
Yeah, the fighter, the
No, it was like an arena fighter or something. And then there was Mass Attack, which I tried playing, but I didn't like as well. And so my next, I think, you know what? I think my next goal is, once I beat Squeak Squad, I'll probably try to play the Game Boy Advance one.
Oh, so
I remember playing
you're
that.
gonna do just a Kirby marathon here.
Oh, I wouldn't say a marathon. That means, like, as soon as I beat this, I'm gonna go and get the other ones. No. It's just, I'll get to it when I get to it. Because I don't have any of those, so I'll have to go out and buy them. But I'll probably, like, if I go to a game shop and they have it, then I'm like, all right, I'll play it. I'll buy it, and then I'll set it aside and play it later. I kind of at some point want to collect all the Kirby games. So I have all of the ones from the DS onward. So I have all those. I have the Wii U one, the Wii one, now the Switch one. Now it just is more like playing the Kirby games is just basically collecting them. Like, there's no reason for me to do it. It's just like, okay,
You
I
dislike
enjoy it.
Sonic. Yeah. We're not even gonna go there. No.
Well, I won't play the Sonic spin-offs. I generally won't play the Sonic spin-offs. With a few exceptions. Like, I'll play the Sonic Racing games, just because, well, the last few ones were made by Sumo Digital, so I'm cool with playing those. But yeah, like the Rider series, I don't care. Some of the other ones, I don't care. I feel like the 3D ones, though, I have to play, even if they're straight up trash, just because I have to. Like, it's a
Well,
job now. It's like, I have to play Sonic.
it's following the
Also,
Sonic cycle. That's it.
no, because, like, that mean if it's following the Sonic cycle, that means I get hyped up for the game, in order to inevitably figure out it's trash later. That's not true. I generally will go in, like, I knew Sonic Forces was going to be trash to begin with, but I thought it was going to be fun trash. It wasn't fun trash. It was just trash.
There you
It's like,
go.
I like the games that are a little bit broken but still kind of fun,
You
like a B movie. But
created
no,
another
Sonic
Sonic
Forces is
cycle.
just straight up trash.
You created the Sonic cycle too. Expecting fun trash, but just getting trash.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, I'll take that, I guess. I'm not happy about it, but I guess I will take that as a Sonic cycle too.
The Sonic cycle too.
Sonic Cycle and Knuckles. I'm gonna call it Sonic Cycle and Knuckles. Which, incidentally, I almost want to get a Chevy Sonic just so I can get an and Knuckles sticker to put on the back of the car. That's the only reason I want that car. It's a small, like, super dorky car, but I only want it. So I'm gonna get it in blue if I get it, and it's gonna have the and Knuckles sticker on the back.
You should make the wheels red.
Well, because I'm trying to think of how Sonic looks when he's in his spin ball form, but I think it's mostly blue. But yeah, no, I'm probably gonna get a sedan next, but yeah, I'm not gonna get a Chevy Sonic. Anyway, moving on from our automobile podcast, let's just go ahead and go into the topics of this week. And the first one is a little guy named Hammond. Well, I guess technically named Wrecking Ball.
I hate how it's Wrecking Ball. I totally thought it was Hammond, which is
in Overwatch. So we'll say in Overwatch. Yes, but yeah, I think everyone kind of came to that conclusion because, like, when they were first hyping it up, everyone was like, "Oh my God, Hammond!" I was like, "Oh, cool." I didn't really follow like the Overwatch lore. I was like, "Okay, cool, Hammond, that's awesome." And then I didn't find out until like, because when they announced it was in the morning, I was on break, and then later on, I found out. I think the next day, I found out that the character was actually called Wrecking Ball. And I'm like, that's the cheesiest. That is the name of one of those, what, BMX XXX racers' names?
No, like, that's the name of, like, a bootleg, like, something. It sounds just so generic.
Yeah, like, it's trying hard to be cool, but it's just like, Hammond, like, Hammond isn't really, like, a unique name, but it feels like it has the most personality, especially for a hamster.
Yes, Hammond is a hamster. In a big robot suit named Wrecking Ball, technically.
Yes. The suit itself is called Wrecking Ball, and just Hammond is the pilot. But it's kind of like, well, I guess it...
I guess, no, it only fits, I'd say it only fits because the suit is named Wrecking Ball. So if you say the suit is named Wrecking Ball, like, it fits. But if you just call the character, like, Wrecking Ball, it sounds very, like, generic and very, whatever. It sounds just generic. It doesn't sound like an Overwatch name.
Especially when you have like characters like D.Va.
Yeah.
Like a D period V-A.
And Mercy.
Mercy, Pharah, fucking Doomfist.
Yes.
Doomfist. Well, that kind of makes sense though, because the Doomfist in the game is a little different than the original Doomfist, but it's still, it has a sense of personality.
Yeah.
It's like they're trying. Wrecking Ball just seems like we couldn't think of anything.
And we just named him Wrecking Ball. Like, that's all they
did.
Yeah.
We thought it would be cute. It's like, no. They really should have ran some more tests. But I'm kind of hoping that, like, I don't like it when, like, fans petition to change things that the creator makes. Star Wars.
Yeah.
But I do kind of hope that Blizzard changes Wrecking Ball's name to Hammond, because I feel like that would fits in more with the Overwatch world. Even though I know like they wanted it Wrecking Ball, but everyone's gonna refer to him as Hammond anyway, so there's no point in just continuing it.
Yeah, that's actually pretty good. And we were talking about the Mega Man stuff last week, and now this one actually, this one, they should actually change the name to Hammond. It just sounds better. It's more personal, I guess.
It would make sense if it was Wrecking Ball, if you know, it, pretty much you never saw Hammond, or like very rarely, like the machine was the only thing you saw. Kind of like if, like with D.Va and Mika, if you barely saw D.Va, calling it Mika would make sense. Because it would just be that's what it is. I'm trying to remember. Orisa. Is Orisa the name of the pilot or the mech?
D.Va is the mech.
No. Orisa. I know. Well, D.Va is...
Is together.
D.Va isn't the mech. Mika is the mech.
Yeah,
this
but...
is confusing. Mika is the mech. D.Va is D.Va's code name.
Yes, there
her
you
actual
go.
Name.
Yeah, so I think definitely... It was the better choice with the better choice is Hammond, I think, instead of Wrecking Ball.
Like Wrecking Ball, it's okay, but it just doesn't have as much of personality as any of the other Overwatch characters. So I think making the change would be fantastic.
Yeah, so it would be a great petition, actually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like I said, I don't really like the petition type stuff, but I feel in this instance it would make sense.
Yeah, that's for sure. And I believe Hammond was already in the test servers,
Yes.
so he should be releasing soon.
Yeah, I'll probably try him out a little bit. But I don't know if I'll take to him. I mostly play Mercy anyway. All right, and speaking of new characters, Talim, I guess that's her name,
Yes.
was just announced for Soul Calibur 6. And I don't remember her character at all. Like, I know she was in, I
Really?
think, yeah, she was in Soul Calibur 2.
Yes, and she was in Soul Calibur 3. Oh my god, I don't even remember Soul Calibur. Oh, Soul Calibur 4 was with Vader
Yes.
and
Remember,
Yoda.
4 had Vader and Yoda and
Starkiller.
Starkiller. I never played 5.
5 I played, she wasn't in 5.
I know, what's his face? Ezio from Assassin's Creed was in 5.
Yes.
But yeah, four was the last one I played. I never got around to 5. I should probably kind of want to get it. Go ahead.
You see, the thing I feel with Soul Calibur is that it's getting stale. Like, I mentioned this with, like, or we mentioned it all with God of War, and God of War, you know, amazed us in the way that they changed it up. I think Soul Calibur needs that change. And it's great that they're, like, announcing new characters and familiar faces, but the gameplay is becoming just real stale. So, I know the last you played was 4, right?
Yes, and
Yes.
I liked, well, because I liked, I know a lot of people look down on 3. I like
Well,
3 because it
3 was looked
introduced
down.
the character creator, and 4 kind of expanded on that a little bit more, and that's why I liked 4.
But the reason why 3 is looked down is because it was a PS2 exclusive.
Well, I know that, I thought there was like a technical reason, like it wasn't as
No.
balanced or something that people
No,
didn't
no,
like.
no. It was because it was a PS2 exclusive and the arcade version came out, what was it, after the actual PS2 version. And I would assume, since it didn't come out in the arcade, it wasn't balanced as well. But a majority of the hate for 3 was because it was a PS2 exclusive. After Soul Calibur 2 launched on all 3 systems, and it had guest characters.
Yeah, because like because the 3 I remember also it was weird because it kind of had guest characters in the sense that it wasn't like a popular character, but I know they were like kind of exclusive to Soul Calibur, and they were mostly in the Blade Master mode, if I remember right. I know there was a few people that. It just kind of like showed up there. There were more styles than actual
Than
like
actual
full.
new characters, yeah.
Yeah. And I know like apparently no, I'm wrong. Cosmos from Xenosaga. Xenosaga?
Xeno,
Xenoblade.
yeah. Xenoblade.
Xenogears. No.
Yeah,
Xenogears is a PS1 game.
Xenogears, yes.
Xenosaga, yes. Cosmos from Xenosaga.
Xenosaga,
Yeah.
yeah. So many
I'll get there.
Xenos.
She was actually, well, she wasn't actually in Soul Calibur 3. She wasn't really a guest, but like you could eventually get her costume to put on a character, which I thought that was cool. So yeah, like I mean, I'm probably gonna get Soul Calibur 6, because it's been a long time since I've actually played a Soul Calibur game. I've like over the weekend I was playing a little bit of Soul Calibur 2, because I finally got my PS2 connected to my TV, so I was playing a little bit of it. It was the PS2 version. Unfortunately, it doesn't have any of the other cool guest characters like Link or Spawn.
Spawn, yeah, it
Yes.
has a Hayashi.
Yeah, which is he's all right. He's all right. So it's cool that it has that, and but it's kind of like nice to kind of go back and play Soul Calibur, because I remember loving the first game so much on the Dreamcast, and I remember getting hyped up for two that it had, like, I remember getting the GameCube version because it had Link. Actually, and right now I have both the Xbox version and the PS2 version of Soul Calibur 2. I think I'm going to try to get all the Soul Calibur games. Why not? It's not like I'm missing
I
much right
mean,
now anyway. I just need the GameCube version of 2, Soul Calibur 3, 4, and 5. That's fine.
the difference between like you going to play 6 now is that since you skipped the version, it's not going to be as stale, but I feel like that series need it needs a complete overhaul, just completely.
Well,
But
they
yeah,
tried that
adding
with 5, though, didn't they? Where they tried to like reboot it or change it or
Not
something.
really, not really. The gameplay stayed kind of similar to what you're used to. Adding Talem, she's a character like everybody wants in every version of Soul Calibur. So adding her back in, coming back from 5 is pretty cool. But these character announcements don't really like get to me any. They're not as surprising anymore because now they're just catering to the fans. In just characters, they're catering to the fans, but I feel like the gameplay, like for veterans, it might get stale. Like I feel like it's a very like there's nothing. It's not as exciting anymore, and it doesn't look what you would expect it to look. I actually want more from my fighting game graphics. Like Street Fighter V looks fine and dandy, it's in its 2.5D style, it's stylized. And Dead or Alive looks to be taking realism back in terms of like presentation. So yeah, Soul Calibur just to me looks very stale. It's the same thing. We'll see. We'll see how it plays, but that's the vibe I'm getting from it in terms of them, just announcing these characters. They're just pretty much this is like another dream match sort of a situation where they're just making this game just to make it and just to get it out.
Well, because I actually just looked right now. The last time, or when Soul Calibur 5 came out, was 2012. So it's been like 6 years.
It does, it doesn't feel that way.
But yeah, I do agree though that 6 doesn't seem to have the magic for me that they've shown off that Soul Calibur 1 had, and it looks better. But there's just something that's kind of missing, and I don't know what it is. And I know, I think the director of Tekken 7 went on to work on this game. So that's why there's more hit sparks and stuff. But I think it's the saturation of colors, because it seems kind of muted. It could just be like the environments are feel pretty samey, and there's not much color and stuff like that. But I'm not sure exactly what it is. Something's off.
My definition for something's off is that this could have been completely redone and it could have been even more gritty. This is like
Yeah.
a game that I think needs grit now, in this point of its
Well,
time.
I don't think it needs grit. I think it needs more color. It needs to be more fun. But it doesn't help too that the guest character they announced was Geralt from The Witcher, which is cool. Like he absolutely feels like he fits in the Soul Calibur world. I think the problem is he fits in too well, and it doesn't feel like it's like, holy shit, this character's in here. Like, Link was, or Spawn, or even
Yeah, he doesn't
Heihachi.
feel like a guest character. Yeah, he just feels
Yeah.
like he just belongs there. Like, here's Geralt, and everybody's like, "Oh, okay. Who's the guest character?"
Exactly. It works. I don't want to say it works too. It does work too well, actually. He works too well, which I mean is a good problem to have, I think, since he's not going to be too outlandish. But then again, they had Yoda and Vader in it in Soul Calibur, so it's kind of hard.
And Ezio, they had Ezio from
Yeah,
Assassin's
but
Creed
I'm saying
and
like,
Kratos.
yeah, he was in the PSP one. But I'm saying like, as far as like, wow, holy shit, guest characters, they already peaked early with 4 with Vader and Yoda. There isn't anyone else. Like, maybe if they include a fucking Power Ranger,
Well, Final
which would
Fantasy
be cool,
characters.
by the way, if they do it. if they do it kind of like Injustice did with the Ninja Turtles, where like you equip different weapons and changes of style. That n okay, now I've just set myself up for disappointment because I want a Power Ranger in Soul Calibur. I don't know
You
why.
see that's pretty different. So that's pretty like wow. Like, oh, I'll play it just to try the Power Ranger sort of a thing.
It's a Power Ranger and it's completely weird and it still kind of fits because they're still using weapons and it's still gonna
And
be.
the Power Ranger is still a warrior in time. You know, like it's still it fits in a way that oh, he could have time traveled there sort of way.
Well, yeah, especially since they have like the Power Rangers in time Rangers to use from, but yeah, using the original Rangers would be the best. So, like I said, that's kind of what I want. Like, just some point, something different.
Yeah, it would be a WTF moment. Definitely. But yeah, Soul Calibur, that's, yeah, it just needs to be different. I do agree with that. You see, this kind of goes into the next topic. It kind of does, because this is what the game feels like. It feels like a remastered and a re-release. That's exactly
I could
what
see that.
Soul
Like,
Calibur.
if someone told me that Soul Calibur 6 was kind of like a remake of Soul Calibur 1, I would kind of believe it.
Yeah, so it definitely ties into it very, very well. And I guess we'll talk about it now.
Yes.
So Amazon is now no longer qualifying re-releases and remastered for Amazon Prime savings anymore. So yes, they're not allowing you to get a discount off of re-releases and remasters.
Which is the most arbitrary like decision for that?
I can't believe that's actually in the clause of
That's like
the.
saying sports games don't count. It's
Exactly, exactly.
completely like it's obvious that Amazon's gonna get rid of their the discount for new games. Because Best Buy got rid of their GCU. Amazon's more than likely gonna get rid of their savings. They don't want to do it just yet. They've already kind of like pared it back a lot because it used to be 20% off games if you get it within 2 weeks, and then now it was like only on pre-orders. And then it was no longer on collector's editions, and then now it's like not re-releases or remasters, which is absolutely dumb.
I mean, and some of the titles coming out are remasters or remakes, like Crash Bandicoot, the Insane Trilogy, Shadow of the Colossus, when it was released as well. I just find it strange that it's actually written in the clause to Prime Savings, which it seems like they're just like picking things off. Soon it's gonna be like, oh, you can't get the Prime Saving on a Mario game, or you're not gonna get it on Zelda. So, like, you
Yeah,
know.
I could see them doing it like you don't get the 20% off on Switch games. I could see them doing that. Like, okay, that's an ass move, but okay. And then eventually no PS4 or Xbox One.
This is why more competition is better. Like, these reasons are why.
Yeah,
This is
this is
why I.
why like the whole reason they added it because Best Buy had the Gamers Club unlocked, which did it. Which was a great deal, by the way. I regret that I'm sad that they're discontinuing it because it was fantastic. I shopped way more at Best Buy with that than I had before.
Yeah, it's just very, very, very surprising. It just doesn't make any sense, and that's why competition is better, and I don't want GameStop to go because of things like that.
Exactly. I mean, well, GameStop is nowhere near competing
I
with
know,
these
as
people.
good. Yes. They're not competing, but once GameStop goes, I feel like digital is gonna be the way, and I don't want that digital future just yet. We're not ready for it.
No. Oh, no. Well, I don't know, because I can still see Amazon carrying physical. Especially since people order stuff online anyway. But it won't surprise me if we see. Like, the fucking game section at Best Buy is already pretty pitiful. Getting smaller and smaller. And they're adding more like figures and collectibles and stuff. So, then again, I can always also see GameStop going full on ThinkGeek with a small game section. That's kind of how it is now, anyway. That's very sad.
Yeah, hopefully someone makes another, I guess, GCU sort of a thing. So
Well, I know they've
Amazon
tried
could
similar things
reverse.
before, but who knows?
Well, Amazon is not even, they're not selling newer Sony games. You can't pre-order Spider-Man on there.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of things like going on with I guess Amazon at the moment with game releases.
Yeah, I know they had issues with Nintendo too, where some releases, like a month or so, if you don't pre-order them, like they just are unavailable until like a week or two after release. I know with some of the 3DS models, there was an issue where Amazon was carrying them right away, and it's a huge, huge thing. But then again, it seems like Nintendo likes to play ball with GameStop more anyway. But who knows? I mean, it was fun while it lasted. I feel like more people are gonna wait for sales anyway. But I mean, these companies are losing money over it, so especially with like fucking Amazon Prime going up in price now, 120 a year.
Yeah, so we're practically paying more just for less services now.
Well, they keep adding services, but it's not stuff I want. Like, it's cool that they have all these, like, Prime shows. I don't really care to watch them. It's cool that they have all these extra features with Prime, like for the Prime music. I'm not gonna listen to it.
Yeah,
Like, if
who
they
listens
just.
to music nowadays? Now let me stop.
Well, yeah, but I feel like with Apple Music or Spotify, it just it, the app of them. Amazon one just feels redundant. And even then, because I have Prime, I'm still not going to use it to listen to Prime. I'd much rather do Spotify or Apple Music. Just because it feels like, I mean, I have a lot more stuff on there. All the stuff that I have from Amazon was like music I bought that was on sale and stuff. So, like, I don't really care to use Apple Music. I mean, use Amazon Prime Music. But anyway, that's a whole other completely unnecessary topic at the moment.
So I guess this is going to be the topic we need at this sort of moment. But
Yes.
this goes back to Nintendo though. Nintendo's new president, Furukawa?
Yeah, Furukawa.
Yes, Furukawa, is considering various possibilities for a 3DS successor.
We're
Okay.
not done with the dedicated handheld yet, which I think is a
Which,
good thing.
it's a good thing. You, I,
Yeah.
it blows my mind that they're still talking about a successor for the 3DS. It blows my mind. Just because they have the Switch, it really does. This is the thing about Nintendo. Like, I feel like they're gonna cannibalize the Switch, and they're gonna kill off the Switch by doing things like this.
No. Well, no, for two reasons. One, they've kind of said something like this in the past. When the DS came out, Nintendo wasn't sure if it was going to be a big hit or not. So they called it its third pillar. Because at the time they had, what, the GameCube, the Game Boy Advance,
Game Boy
and the
Advance.
DS. So they were like, we're not sure if this is going to take off, so it's going to be our third pillar. So in case it failed, they can drop it and go back to the Game Boy line. I could see them kind of doing something like this. They're like, yeah, we're gonna like putting the feelers out, like we can do a 3D successor. The other reason why I think it's a good idea is there was a article or there was a quote by Reggie Fils-Aimé who said that the 3DS is how they get kids into the Nintendo ecosystem, and from there they can get a Switch. And I think that's brilliant, because you to have a cheap handheld, a dedicated handheld, gets kids to play Nintendo games, and in turn getting the higher end stuff, getting the consoles.
Yeah, how about of the problem is how about that lower end stuff is better than the higher end stuff?
But they're not, it's not going to be better than the higher end stuff. That's the point. Is they're
Why
gonna.
but why would they make, here's the thing, if they don't, all right, so let's say if they do make another console, right? Handheld. If I don't see every game on that handheld on the Switch, then this means not it means nothing to me.
Well, why
Because
would you do that? There's no
the
reason to
Switch
do
is
to put everything on a Switch.
well, the Switch is a handheld. That's
It's
why.
it is also a handheld, yes, but it's it
Why do I
something.
need two? Why do I need two devices to
You
do?
don't need two devices though.
Ex
Again, this is
exact.
specifically for
Exactly.
kids and for a dedicated handheld. Some games work on a dedicated handheld. Like again, going to Kirby's Squeak Squad, that game would not look anywhere near as good on the Switch. It work or okay. I guess GameCube. Well, it would actually look pretty okay on GameCube, but still, the point is like, you need like lower budget games, and that's what the what I would imagine the 3DS successor would be is lower budget
Wait,
games.
but
That's
lower
why
budget games could also.
we're getting like the WarioWare Gold. That's why we got the Mario Party
Yes, but
Top
guess
100,
what?
and that's why we're
Guess
getting
what?
Luigi's Mansion. It's
I do
low
want to play
quality, cheap
those on the
ports.
Switch too. I do want to play those on the Switch as well. And it's very possible that they could make that port onto the Switch. That's the
It's
thing. The thing is that why make it on just one console when you can make it on two? And you know the second one is gonna run it because it has more premium hardware. So why exclude those gamers from those games and those experiences? That doesn't make any sense.
but that's what they've I mean that's what they've done all along with everything. Like there's been very few exceptions where they release games on two different systems that are practically identical.
I
Like
mean, they wouldn't be
with the
too at the.
Captain Toad is the most recent example that I can think of, because it's coming out on the 3DS and the Switch. And
Yeah, and it should be that way. It should be coming out on their 3DS successor and the Switch. Because unless the new successor has its own specific gimmick that system could do, what's the point of not having it on the Switch?
because then what if it gets to the well what if it gets to the point where people are looking at the 3DS or the 3DS successor games coming to the Switch and sees that they're all low quality, low budget things, and they're like, oh well, Switch is getting like really crappy
Have you
games.
been on the Nintendo eShop recently for the
Yes, I
Switch? There's
realized
been
that there's like tons
yes.
of like indie games, and I was actually thinking about picking up Pocket Fighter or Pocket Rumble earlier that looks like a Neo Geo Pocket game. Still.
Yes, but there are some low quality games on there, some lower quality games on there. So it's not like, it's just gonna crowd the Switch with low quality games. There's a bunch on the eShop already, so. Yeah, this new successor needs to have some sort of gimmick or something because it doesn't make any sense. Like in seeing how they want to make it its own thing, it doesn't make any sense holding those games back just for that specific handheld when you have another handheld with much better hardware inside that could run the same thing. Why exclude it? Do anything for me. It doesn't. They're losing customers too, for doing that.
I don't know if they're losing customers because Luigi's Mansion isn't on the Switch.
I mean,
Or
it
would
should
it
be on
help?
the Switch though.
Sure, but I mean, it is what it like I think being a 3DS thing is fine because honestly, I like playing my 3DS still. Like just
Yeah, but
having it
this new
in
console.
bed and just playing like or my 2DS in bed and just playing a DS game or a 3DS game that's kind of separated from my Switch. Like sure, if I'm going on vacation or travel, I will take my Switch over my 3DS, but like I like having those different options. And that's what it comes down to, is more options.
Yeah, more options, but you're... Why would I pay for more options if that other console could do the same thing and they could just port over the game? It just doesn't make any sense for me. That's like splitting up another user base. It doesn't...
But it's the whole point of it is to bring in kids to the Nintendo ecosystem. I mean, sure, they have mobile games, but this is, like... It'd be like the 2DS. Like, it's meant for kids. It's meant for younger kids. And once they get old enough, they'll eventually get the Switch or the Switch 2 or whatever. Like, and they'll want to stay with the... They'll want to stay with the company. They'll want to stay with Nintendo. I mean, obviously, they're going to play other games, because it would be weird for them to just stay with Nintendo.
No, it should be cross. It should be cross-platform. It should definitely be cross-platform. It just... Like... I just don't see how another handheld would survive it not being cross-platform to the Switch. It just doesn't work. Like, it being, and on top of that, it being, less quality in hardware, it's not viable to me. I want Nintendo to prove me wrong, but it's, to me, I just don't see a point in it. They should just make a Switch, a cheaper Switch, that's it. And just call it the Switch. That's it. That's all they need to do. Because I feel like making another handheld is going to cannibalize everything. Because to the point where you say, oh, it's just for the kids. Well, those, remember, they can make some really great titles on this other device that won't come out on the Switch at all. And it just, why do that? Why? Like, I want Nintendo to prove me wrong. Again, I want them to prove me wrong just like they did with the Switch, because I was doubting the Switch that whole time, you know, before release. So I want them to prove me wrong and show me why I need another handheld. Because they're still gonna make those great games on that handheld, and that's what I wanna play.
But if they make all the games for the Switch and the dedicated handheld, then there's no reason for you to get the dedicated.
Well, yeah, there is. If it's for kids, it's going to be cheaper quality, right?
Yeah, so then what's the point of getting it if everything is on the Switch already?
Well, if it's cheaper quality, if it's made out of plastic and it has less breakable materials, more like you're able to... Well, pretty much you're not able to get those Switch games. Switch will have, obviously, more games. But it'll be more about the quality of the console, maybe more plastic, more safeguarding for kids to actually play. Right? Because the whole point is to get more kids to play Nintendo games. It would be that the hardware itself would have to be more kid-proof. Unlike the Switch, which is definitely, it's much more delicate in that sense.
Yes.
Yeah, I want Nintendo to prove me wrong. They do go about it as a new handheld, just completely separate from the Switch. But I feel like this new handheld is just going to be a companion to the Switch.
Yeah, and that's all it's going to be, is like...
Oh, no, I'm talking about companion as in every game on that new handheld is coming on the Switch eShop. That's how I would want it to go down. Like, that would make me a believer of what they're trying to do.
Like I said, we'll see what happens. Because, again, Nintendo has said stuff like, yeah, we're going to continue on with this system or this franchise. And they stopped it. So, who knows? I am absolutely all for a 3DS successor. The 4DS or 6DS, I'm cool. 3DS 2.
No, to me, Advanced. it has to be completely like different. It has to be color. It has to be a completely different.
3DS 2DS.
3DS Lite.
I was trying to think if they actually released a Lite, but they didn't. It was already small. It went from small to large. 3DSi. Anyway, I'm done like butchering 3DS names, but I think it's a good idea. Like, having a 3DS successor regardless of what the games are, is a good idea. And so, in order to get people to get kids to play Nintendo games.
We'll see.
Yeah,
I'm
it's a
we'll
wait
see
and see
mode.
thing. 'Cause who, I mean, again, he's the new Nintendo president has only been president for a few months. And I'm sure, honestly, they're looking at 3DS successor prototypes, and I'm sure they have a few Switch 2 prototypes and other stuff that they're kind of not working on, but just the R&D is doing the thing. So we'll see what happens. We've nowhere to go but up at this point.
I mean, if that's what you call it.
Yeah.
With
Well,
Nintendo, we don't know. I
it
don't
did.
know.
Their
Like,
stock did drop, what, like 7% after E3, so who knows?
yes, who knows what's gonna go on? We have to wait for this.
Yes.
I'm gonna go with, I would like to make a bet, but I just don't know what to bet on. But
I honestly feel like if we make a bet, like I'll forget by the time this 3DS
I know,
successor comes
yeah.
out. I
It
feel
might
like they're
never
just
release.
now like starting on those ideas, starting working out those ideas. So I think it's gonna be like if it happens, like another 3, 4 years down the line. We'll see what happens. Time will only tell.
Yeah, and I guess that's it for tonight's podcast. I think we need to shut the floodgates. Yes, is that the one?
The floodgates are closing.
Are closing. Yes, but that's it for tonight's podcast. You could catch us next week. Also, subscribe to us on Spotify. Follow us on, wait, is it Twitter or Facebook? You see, look, I got it all mixed up again, but it's just this is like every week. I'm never gonna get this one down. So like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter. Also, again, subscribe to us on Spotify. We're now on Spotify. It's official. We're also on iTunes, Stitcher, practically every major streaming
Service.
service. Yes, on there now. So definitely check us out next week, and we'll see you then.
Catch you on the flip side.